I mean, the Buddha is pointing to something that is definitely beyond normal, the normal sort of functioning of the mind, and pointing to what is a basis of the freedom from all dukkha. So that I think these are aspects of the experiential realm that are helpful to explore, investigate, pay attention to. I wouldn't obsess over it. That in itself is a source of dukkha. But I think it's helpful to realize that the Buddha really is pointing to something transcendent and something beyond what it's not as if because that is kind of a view in kind of contemporary Buddhist circles of basically Nibbana is maybe a shedding of some of the neuroses of human existence, but you feel good and it's kind of nice, there's something way deeper going on, and that the Buddha has really penetrated the nature of existence and the nature of liberation, freedom. One of the things also in terms of yesterday Ajahn Kunanamo and I were kind of talking about it after the reading yesterday, that the nature of somebody who has liberated mind, liberated consciousness, it's not as if they don't experience what is pleasant or unpleasant, or experience something which is likable or unlikable, and isn't able to make judgments on that, Ajahn Liam uses it a lot when he teaches itta lamana anitta lamana, so that objects of mind that are likable or unlikable, and that's how do you say it? That's prior to the kind of it's with the presence of feeling, but it's prior to the formulating of a reaction, so that one's and the investment that one, so that that's an there isn't attachment or desire within that experience, but of course if one invests in that with ignorance and desire, then it's going to take one down the course of experiencing suffering, complication, entanglement. And there's examples of that there's a discourse. Is it Sutta Nipata? I can't remember. Maybe it's in Samyutta Nikaya. Bani Alavaka? Sutta Nipata. Where Alavaka, the yaka, comes up to the Buddha sitting quietly and keeping to himself. And Alavaka, the yaka, comes up and kind of sits up really close to him, and the Buddha pulls away, and Alavaka sort of what kind of someone are you? You're kind of reacting to your likes and dislikes, and you obviously have aversion towards me. And the Buddha is sort of saying, no, I don't have aversion, but your touch is unpleasant. You know, it's just this. So that's an ordinary aspect of contact, and one doesn't need to mire oneself in what is unpleasant or just follow along on what is blindly on what is pleasant, but one makes choices around that with wisdom and discernment and mindfulness. Similarly, I think of in the Vinaya, one of the reasons for having tooth woods, like the Buddha encourages us using tooth woods for brushing one's teeth, and one of the reasons for, and he gave five different reasons. One of the reasons is because it makes the food taste better. Have cleaning, clean mouth, and looking after you, not letting your teeth rot on you. It makes your food taste better. So that, that's not an impediment to one's enlightenment, that one should not experience something that actually tastes pleasant. So that, but of course, there's other places where the Buddha is sort of saying, beware of taste. So that's a natural part of the process of the mind. One just recognizes that, but then one's making those kind of clear discernments, and because one's not responding to it with ignorance and desire, then the consciousness doesn't land and grow. There isn't a basis for it to turn into the process of becoming a sense of an I, me, and mine. And of course, the fundamental objects of that tend to be the feeling, form, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness itself.